You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Matthew chapter 25, we'll be reading verses number 1 through 13 this morning, right before David comes and preaches. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh."
Thank you for reading this morning. We'll have a word of prayer today. Father, I pray that you would bless, Lord, the preaching of your word. Bless us the hearts, Lord, that as they listen and receive it, thank you for, Lord, a church where we can gather like this, and we're grateful for the music that we've heard this morning. We've drawn closer to you as a result of it. And I pray our hearts and desires would be, Lord, to do whatever you would ask of us. Lord, to fully commit ourselves to you. God, we thank you for the love that you've extended us through the cross of Calvary. Bless our time together, we ask this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've read our passage this morning, and as you see, Jesus has begun to speak a parable to the people here. This is not a true story, and as you read the story, the beginning of it, you might think something might be a little bit odd. There are 10 young ladies waiting for their husband, one man, 10 ladies. Jesus is hearkening back to a culture of several hundred years before when this was the custom. He was describing unto them a marriage, or the time that someone would wait before they were married. I can only speak for myself, but I'm sure it's for many people today. I remember my wedding day very clearly. It's in my memory. I can pull it up. I can think about so many things throughout that day and all that took place. We had a later afternoon wedding. It was later in the afternoon, not early. And about 12 o'clock, I was wishing that it was a morning wedding. I was ready to just get up there and do what we needed to do. And it was just nerves, you know. It's kind of like how I feel right now. The waiting was the hardest part. We had dated and gone through the stage there of getting to know each other, growing together. I remember getting engaged to my wife, Miss Jennifer. I remember going and buying that engagement ring. And I was a very poor college student at the time. The only thing different about that today is I'm not in college. But the amount of money that I saved, I was sure it wasn't going to be enough. It wasn't going to be enough to get what I thought she wanted. And how did I know what she wanted? Well, something called Pinterest. And you get someone to log in there for you. No man here has a Pinterest account, surely. But you got logged in, and to see the rings that she was putting on her board, I thought, there's absolutely no way. You know, it's just a dream. But I went to that jewelry shop, and I met with the lady there. It was an Italian lady named Giovanna, and she was very kind. She could tell I was nervous, and I kind of told her where my price range was. And we got through everything. She took me to the side room there, her office, and she didn't explain everything about the ring that I was buying, but she told me enough so that I knew, you know, the 3 C's and all the things that go into just knowing a little bit about it. She said, you need to know. You may not know everything about the vehicle, but you should at least lift up the hood, she said, before you buy it. And I remember trembling, pulling the cash from my pocket, and she told me, she said, you know, I've had NFL football stars sitting in front of me, and they do the same thing with rings much larger. They just shake. It's a big purchase. It's a big commitment. And I remember taking that ring and putting it at a secure location, and getting engaged. What a time and a night that was for me, and I hope for my wife. The wedding day came, and I stood on the platform of the church there in California, and I had all of my closest and dearest friends standing here to the left of me, and my wife had her closest and dearest friends standing here to the right of her, and I was just standing there, just wishing that she would walk through that door, and the music began, and everybody stood up, and the doors opened, and what a sight, my bride coming down the aisle. There's nothing like it. It's something that's so special. It's something that's so amazing. Man, she didn't look nervous at all. She looked radiant. She looked beautiful. She was robed in a white dress with a veil and a long train of that dress and came up the platform, and we were married that day. I remember that so vividly. The wedding that we're shown here in our passage of Scripture is a little bit different, and according to even our culture. You see, on my wedding day, everybody's attention was on the bride. They didn't really care if I was there or not. They didn't really care what I was wearing, but everybody was going to talk about what she was wearing. Everybody was going to talk about how she looked and the colors and the flowers and all the preparation that went into that day. That's who they were focused on. But in this day, it was quite the opposite. Everybody at a wedding in this day would be focused on the groom. They would be focused on this person that was entitled the bridegroom. He was the one who had found this young lady. And in this time and day, many of the customs were different than ours, but it was really, and I say this with respect, it was out of necessity that someone would be married. It was how families were joined together. It's how you made it financially. It's how everything worked in that day. It was a very necessary thing. And oftentimes, a father of his son would send out an emissary, a representative of himself, to go and find this young lady for his son. And oftentimes, he had never even met her. We see this in the Old Testament, where Isaac had never met his wife. When Eliezer went out, he was this representative of the father. The father would say, "You have my blessing. You are representing me. You must go choose for my son who he will marry." And Eliezer did this. And as you see, as you read the account there, as that Eliezer would not even sit down with Laban's family. He said, "No, before I even have a meal with you, we've got something to discuss. We have something to agree upon." And there was a discussion. There was some negotiation that was happening. They say, "Why was all of that?" Because there was a price that was to be paid for this young lady. It was called a dowry. He would lay this down. It was an amount of money or items or things that he would trade in order to have the privilege of marrying this young lady. And they would agree upon that price. And as soon as they agreed upon that price, Eliezer was able to go home and tell them who he had picked and who it was that was going to be married to Isaac. As we look at our lives today as the Christian, we have a similar example. God the Father had a son. He sent out an emissary, a representative of himself. He's actually in the world searching today. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is seeking and searching for anybody that would accept an invitation to be married to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this or not. You're going to a wedding someday. If you're saved today and you're in the room, you will attend a wedding in heaven. The Bible says that the bride is the church. We collectively are going to be joined together with Jesus Christ. We are going to have the opportunity to be with him for 7 years in heaven during that tribulation time. And during that time, there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And just like all weddings are, it's going to be a time of rejoicing. It's going to be a time of joy. It's going to be just a time of jubilation. Nothing is going to compare to it. There'll be people that are saved after the tribulation and after during the thousand-year reign of Christ that won't even be at that wedding, but you and I will be there. Those that have gone on before us, those saints that have been saved that are now in heaven that day, and then soon, I believe the rapture will happen, and we will meet Jesus in the clouds, and we will be married to him. I'm thankful for the dowry that he paid for you and for me. You think about Calvary today. No greater price has ever been paid than that which was paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. In our weddings today, we'll look at the bride and say how beautiful she is, and that's appropriate and that's right. But can I tell you, on this day of this wedding, nobody will be talking about the bride. They'll be talking about the bridegroom. Can I, for just a moment this morning, could we just get a glimpse of the bridegroom? Because I can tell you this, we have not seen him yet. Oh, we have his book and we have his church and we have the Holy Spirit living within us today, but none of us have seen God. No man has seen God, but there is coming a day that we will see him. But we are in that time of waiting. Our scripture says that the bridegroom tarried. He waited. And these 10 virgins, these 10 young ladies, they had something that they could do. They could be preparing for him to come. Brother Curry, I think about preparation. It's good to be prepared, isn't it, right? Situations arise. Well, I'm not prepared for this. When we moved here, my wife and I, we were staying up one night getting some things done. There was a thunderstorm and a lightning storm outside, and all of a sudden, the power went out. What do you do? Well, I wasn't prepared. The flashlights and all the things, the water, it wasn't there. But, you know, it was just for a couple hours. It was no big deal. If it had been longer, it could have been serious. These ladies did not know when he was going to come back. They were not sure of this. But can I tell you tonight that there's a concealing that is happening right now? We're in that moment right now. We're in the moment when Jesus Christ has concealed himself from us. Right? Our faith has not become yet sight. That's why it's important to live by faith down here. You cannot avoid it. You cannot bypass it. You are commanded. You and I are commanded to live by faith. It's how we please God. It's how we get to know God better. There was a time of concealing when Jesus was with his disciples. The Pharisees asked him one time about this matter of fasting. The disciples weren't fasting as the other Jews were doing during this time. And Jesus' response was found in Mark chapter number 2, verse number 19. Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days." Can I encourage you, but can I also challenge you this morning that we're in that moment right now of concealing and we ought to be fasting. What is the fasting? It's the preparation. What were they supposed to be doing? They have these lamps. These lamps were used to light the way. You say, why would anybody go to a wedding in the dark? You think about that. I don't know if anybody ever occurred, if that ever occurred to you, if that thought ever came up in your mind. But I can tell you, in this day, when the groom was ready to bring the bride to him while he was away, he would send his best friend, he would send his best man, he would send somebody to go fetch the bride. He would come, and what time would he usually come? It was typically at night. Everybody was sleeping because no one knew when he was coming. And he would come and he would shout out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Man, people were starting to wake up. The friends of the family, everybody was excited about this wedding. A lot of thought and preparation, a lot of talk had happened about how beautiful this wedding was going to be. He's coming, he's coming. And these 10 young ladies awoke from their sleep. The Bible says they trimmed their lamps, but 5 had oil and 5 did not. In the Bible, the oil is often a picture of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, while we're down here, while we're not up there, while the time of concealing is happening for you and I today, we ought to be getting to know the Holy Spirit that lives within us. How is God going to protect us down here? How is he going to take care of us? He has left us the Holy Spirit. Most Christians wouldn't know the Holy Spirit if he showed up right in front of them, but he lives inside of you today. How many times have I lived in my own flesh and done things in my own power when oftentimes the Holy Spirit was there ready to extend that power, that comfort, whatever I needed? He is the emissary. He is the representative. He's there waiting, saying, "I'll help you. I'll do what you need, but I choose to do it on my own." And this Holy Spirit that God has given us, God's the Spirit of God's own Son, he is waiting to assist us. And there are some that are willing to fill themselves with him, and there are some that are empty. Can I tell you, when we get the call to go to heaven, we don't want to be found lacking. We don't want to be filled wanting. We want to be having our lamps trimmed and burning, ready to light the way. Because this man would come and he would shout out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And as they traveled through night, they needed those lamps to light the way. We live in a dark world, don't we? We live in a dark age right now. I need the lamp of the Word of God. And I need the Holy Spirit to lead me through this path, to lead me through the darkness, because I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to do oftentimes. I may want to know. I may try to think, act like I know, but I just don't know how to get through this life without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God today. He has a time of concealing. There's also, I see, secondly, a time of construction. What was he doing this whole time that he was away? For 9 to 12 months, this man would go and he would do something. He would build a place for them to stay. This was the custom. This was what they were supposed to do. And most of the time, almost all of the time, it would be at the father's house. He would build an apartment. He would build a house, and it was very custom, and it was very suited for their needs together. He would do the labor, and he would do all of the work to build that place for them to live. Can I remind you of a familiar verse in John chapter number 14? The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is in heaven right now preparing a place for you, for me, for all of the church, for the bride. He is waiting so that we could come and live with him. Can you get a glimpse of the bridegroom today? He is building something for you and for me. It ought to be my responsibility. It ought to be your responsibility. The responsibility of the Christian, the responsibility of the church is to have our lamps trimmed and burning as he is preparing a place for us. Can you imagine at my wedding if those doors had opened And the music played, and in came my bride, and her dress was torn, and there was some dirt on it, and her veil was ripped off, and she was bruised and beaten. It would not be the way that you would want a husband and a wife, a bride and a bridegroom, to come together. That's not how it's supposed to be. Can I tell you, I don't think that's how it's going to be when we go to heaven either. Right now, the church might be bruised, and right now, the church might be dirty, but can I tell you, I just believe that God wants to send one last revival. God wants to send one last moving of His Spirit so that we can get right. Today, if you need to get right, you ought to get right in church. Today, if there's something that's between you and your Savior, this is the time to do it. This is the hour to get that right. Why? Because when the bridegroom comes back, there'll be no more time to fix it. There'll be no more time to get it right. There'll be no more time. The time for that will be over. And we'll wish that we had. The construction is happening right now. Jesus is preparing a place for us. Thirdly, I see His clothing. And I see the clothing of a wedding. In this culture and in this day, a bridegroom would make and prepare the garment that the bride would wear. It's very different in our day, but in his day, he would prepare this garment and he would send it ahead before he got there. And a lot of fanfare and people would come, what happened, people would come out to see it, and it was a beautiful garment, but she was supposed to take this garment, and she was supposed to take stones or gems and precious things that meant something to her, and she was supposed to put them in the garment. She was supposed to sew them in there to adorn herself for this wedding. The clothing that you and I received at salvation is found in Isaiah 61. The Bible says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Jesus Christ has already purchased our garment. You see, when I get to heaven, my righteousness won't cut it. That's not what He's looking for. Do I have on the garment? Can I just say this morning, if you don't have the wedding garment, you're not going to get in. If you don't have salvation, you're not going to be at this wedding. Can I tell you today, you can be a part of this. Anybody in this room, outside of this room, anybody that's willing to accept the invitation can be a part of it, but they must get that wedding garment. That wedding garment has already been provided. Not by ourselves, not by our righteousness. We know that's His filthy rags, but God said, I have provided a robe, I have provided a garment of salvation for those that would just come to the wedding. I see fourthly today His condolences or His sympathy. You say, I don't have anything. I don't know if I can add anything to what God has given to me. God has given us an opportunity to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. He's not going to leave you wanting. He's not going to leave you embarrassed. That's not what He wants for His bride. Matthew 6:20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where this wedding will be. We're going to receive this garment when we get to heaven. It's our job down here right now to be laying up for ourselves jewels and crowns and precious things that have eternal value for that day. Let's not come to the wedding and say, I didn't prepare anything. I thought it was just good enough to come. Can I say fifthly today, I see His calm. The calm of the bridegroom, there's no nervousness, there's no anxiousness. Why? Because everything has been prepared for, everything has been paid for. Verse number 7 of our text, the Bible says, they all arose, and all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather ye to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I ought not be nervous today if my lamp is filled with oil. But if I'm living in my own strength and I'm living outside of the bounds of God's word and God's will for my life, there ought to be some conviction. There ought to be some nervousness. There ought to be something that says inside of me, something isn't right. Something's not right here. I'm not ready. If He were to return right now, it would not be good for me. He's not nervous at all. Why? Because everything has been prepared. But are you and I nervous today? We ought not be. We ought to have the peace of God in our heart. Can I tell you today, if you're looking for the peace of God, just ask the Lord for it. He said He will give it to you. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. God wants you to have peace. You say, my life is filled with anxiety, with fear. I just don't understand. I have this problem where I'm always nervous. I'm always anxious. I'm always worrying. Can I encourage you, be filled with the Holy Spirit is the answer. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. I hope you'll get a glimpse of the bridegroom. I see sixthly this morning, His coming. His coming in Matthew chapter number 24, if you will turn over to verse number 31. What is His coming going to be like? Well, no man knows the hour of the day. We don't know when it'll be, but the Bible says in verse number 31 of chapter number 24, and He shall send His angels with a great shout of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. You know, it could be today that Jesus returns. There's no more prophecy that has to be fulfilled. There's nothing else in the book of Revelation that has to happen before the rapture can happen. Can I tell you, friend, don't just think you have more time. Don't just think, well, I've got some time to get this figured out. No, you don't. It's time to decide to live for God today. It's time to say, you know what, I don't have tomorrow, and I may not have next week, and I may not have next year. What I do today determines how I prepare for this wedding. I see, seventhly, his calling. The Bible says a trumpet is going to sound, and he is going to return. Am I ready for the trumpet? He will be announced. He will return. He promised it's going to happen. Everything else that he said in his word has come true. This will come true as well. You might ask yourself this morning, what are we going to be doing at this wedding? What are we going to be doing in heaven? Well, we know we're going to be around the throne. We know we're going to be with Jesus for eternity. But there's something more that he wants to give us. You see, God the Father has given to the Son everything that was in his hand. Luke 10:22 tells us that. All things were delivered to me of my Father's. There's nothing that God the Father has that he hasn't given to the Son. And that's who the bridegroom is. And if we are the church, can I tell you, what has God given to the Son? He has given him his power. Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and in earth. Not only that, he has God's preeminence. God has given him a name which is above every name. And I think one of the most important things, he has given him his position. At the right hand of the Father, he speaks for him. What are you and I going to be doing in heaven? Ephesians 1:18 is a wonderful promise for the Christian. The Bible says, the eyes of your understanding shall be enlightened. When we get to this place, when we go to this wedding, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. When God, and as God the Father has given the Son everything that is in his hand, what is the Son going to do with that? He's going to give it to us. That's how much he loves you. That's how much the bridegroom loves the bride. You know, today I ought to be amazed and I ought to be floored that God would love me. I ought to just say, look, you know what? I don't deserve any of this, but what is God going to give me? He's going to give me everything that the Father has given to him. That's what awaits us today in heaven. Are your lamps trimmed and burning? Are you ready for him to return? It could be today. Can I tell you, friend, there will be a moment when we all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a day, the Bible says it's a day of reckoning, the judgment seat. We read it in Sunday school this morning, but the Bible says that all things that man has done will be made manifest, it will be revealed. And while that might make us fearful, and it ought to make us fear the Lord, everything that you and I have done will be revealed, and our works will be tried. It will either be gold, silver, and precious stone, or it'll be wood, hay, and stubble, and the fire will try it. You still have time. You and I still have an opportunity this morning, but we cannot miss our moment. We cannot miss our day. Our day might be today. You're not sure of tomorrow. I'm not sure of tomorrow. If you're not saved today, why wait? Everybody in this room would rejoice with you. Everybody would say, man, I'm so glad they got that settled. You might be sitting here, you've been in church for a long time, and say, people would doubt me. People would question why I wasn't saved before. Nobody's going to do that. That's the devil speaking to you. That's your flesh speaking to you. That's your pride speaking to you. God wants you to come to him, because soon the call will happen. Behold, the bridegroom.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.